Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Etta Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, your host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And in the absence of my co-host, Minister Tabika Garnes, who has to work today, I want to say God bless her and take care of her today as she goes about her duties for the day. Well, loves, as always, it is wonderful, wonderful to see so many of you chiming in with calling in this morning. It is a blessing. Also, I am the pastor of New Vision for Life Ministries, and a place that I love, loving the people that God has joined me with, and I truly thank God for the opportunity to serve him as I serve the people. I pray that all of you are having a very blessed day thus far, and I know you just woke up, but that right there is enough for you to give thanks to God for the day. So good morning to Tamika. God bless you, beloved. Loving you always. Good morning to Joyce and Lester Richardson, Tamika's parents. God bless you. God bless Teresa in Pennsylvania, Joyce in New York, Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in PA, the Crawfords, that's Crawford and Songbird Crawford in Tennessee. Bless the Lord. To Rob in Pennsylvania, God bless you. God bless you. To Deacon Banks, God bless you, man of God. And to all of the members of New Vision for Life, God bless you. I thank you for being so supportive and following us every single week. God bless you. And the support that Tabika gets from her husband, Elder Mark Garnes, God bless you, man of God. And Deacon Thomas Farr, who has his own show. He started with helping me out and co-hosting with me, and he got his own show, which is called Issues, Christian Men Talk. Issues, Christian Men Talk. And you know I encourage you always to check his show out. You can find out about the days and the times via Facebook, but I do believe that Mondays, Thursdays, nights, are his nights, and as well as some Saturday mornings. So check him out on Facebook so that you can catch hold of the shows that he does. And is geared, of course, towards the men issues that Christian men are talking about, the issues. So the issues that are concerning the men of God, concerning men, period. Concerning men, period. And it's a great place to listen to when it comes to how husbands and fathers and godly men have things that they are concerned about and how they need to be handled. So I just implore all of my female listeners to tune in to the show and hear what God has to say through these men. Awesome, awesome show. Well, we are going to have prayer, and before we actually have prayer, I ask you, beloved, for y'all to get geared up. We started a piece last week about how can I meet the seven basic needs of a husband, and we only got through one basic need. That's how, you know, some of it was controversial and, you know, just really inspiring, on fire. It ignited so much in us that we literally didn't cover in just the one. So we're going to attempt to cover the rest of it today, and all of it. It's so interesting. All of it is something that we could spend an hour on each one of these things, because it comes against the natural grain that we have. It comes against the natural grain that we have. And it's going to take some really listening to, sharing your feelings about it, your thoughts, listening to what the Word of God has to say about it, and ask God to help us through this. I tell you, to God be the glory. So let us go ahead and greet the Father together. Let us go ahead. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we do thank you, we honor you, we bless you, we magnify your holy name, because truly you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You are the great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, and Lord God, there is none like you. I thank you for this day, because it is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I thank you for taking us safely through the night, O Lord God. There are many that didn't make it, but you allowed us to get here today, O God. May we not take for granted the fact that we are alive, that we are breathing, O God, that we have the opportunity to worship you one more day and to magnify your holy name. We have the opportunity, Lord God, to be exactly what you have called us to be. Father God, I ask you to by your Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to continue to empower us to increase in our walk, increase in our faith, in our growth, to increase us, O God, that we might be more of what you have designed us to be. Increase us, Lord God, to even as we go into this lesson today, Lord God, this conversation that we will have with one another, even as we go into this, Lord, fix our hearts, our spirit, our minds, to be able to cooperate with the word, and let it be interpreted in the right way, Lord God. Let it not be misconstrued, O God, and dealing with just man's opinion, Father God. But let us hear from you today, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we can decree and declare a thing, Lord God, and it shall be established. So today, Lord God, I declare blessings over this my listeners today. I declare that they are blessed by you, that you are willing and ready to release miracle power in their lives, O Lord God, in our lives, O Father God, and the blessings that you will release, O God, for future generations. I thank you, Lord God, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I thank you that your love, Lord God, your grace, your mercy endures forever, Father. So we do say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Let your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. And we shall forever give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus, Yeshua's, the Messiah's magnificent name. Amen and amen. Amen. Oh, bless the Lord, beloveds. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a power-packed day. Praise God. I pray that all of you are enjoying, you know, have plans to enjoy the day. And whatever your plans are for the day, don't forget to turn your agenda over to Almighty Daddy, to Abba, and ask him to orchestrate your day so that you are cooperating with what he desires for you to do on this day. This is the day that he made. Go ahead, rejoice, and be glad in it. All right, my loves. Okay, so today we are continuing our conversation on how can I meet my husband's basic needs. How can I meet his needs? And last week, the very first one was in a man needs a wife who is loyal and supportive. And yes, you heard me say, you know, that we spent the entire time and dealing with that, you know, how a woman encourages her husband and believes in him. And here's the quote, no matter what, you know, believing in him, being enthusiastic about his achievements. The wife is never supposed to take over. That was a big one, y'all, for us. Never supposed to take over. It's God's job to convict the husband, not ours. You know, seek your husband's advice and so forth. So we had a good time with that one. Well, beloved, we're going on to the second one here, which is a wife needs to honor and, well, let me see, a man needs a wife who honors his leadership, who honors his leadership. Now, scripture instructs, you know, a wife to reverence her husband, and you'll find that in Ephesians 5 and 33. What does that mean when it says that we are to reverence him, to respect him, to defer to him, to honor him, esteem him, appreciate him, and in the human sense, to adore him, to admire him, to praise him, be devoted to him, deeply love him and enjoy him. This is what it means in Ephesians 5 and 33, that we are to reverence our husbands. And I know, listen, remember, beloved, one thing that will help us to get through this is the fact that when the word of God was written as far as husbands and wives, what we are supposed to do, this addressed godly men who were submitted unto the Lord. This addressed women that were submitted unto the Lord. And so when we look and listen to some of these things, you know, we instantly, which is the only thing that we could do at the moment, we look at the mates that we have now. We look at the mates that we had. We look at the relationships that we've been in. And because we are all imperfect, we see, you know, that how do you expect me, excuse me, how do you expect me to reverence a man that doesn't line up with the word of God? And so what I'm asking you to do, so you're going to have to come at this from both spaces today. You're looking at this as if this man, the husband, is a man that follows what God says, you will find it much easier to receive what it is saying that the man's basic needs are, because God knows what the man's basic needs are, and that's what is written in the Word. And he was talking, remember, he said for the husbands, remember, that they are to love their wives as Christ loved the church, okay? So you see, that's the type of man that he's talking about. So when we are looking at the things that we're supposed to do, that's the type of man that we're supposed to do it with. And as it stands, a lot of us have not experienced living with this type of person. But this is where it is all supposed to go. And so let's talk about that. Remember, beloved, remember, this is heart to heart, where we get to, excuse me, the heart of the matter. So let's bring it to, let's talk about this. Remember, that's the part that you play in this. Okay, so I mean, I've done all I can do with that. So anyway, so we're looking at the fact that a man needs a wife who honors his leadership. And I told you what that meant, you know, how to respect and defer to him and adore him, admire him. We are to honor his God-given authority. When a wife only observes the husband's weakness, it can be very difficult to reverence him. But God requires every wife to reverence her husband because of his God-given position of authority as her husband. Okay, so now, the Lord will direct our lives through the husband's leadership and protection. And as we reverence our husbands voluntarily and sincerely adore and be devoted to him, God blesses us. That is the plan, okay? That is the plan. And so we have to bring ourselves, we acknowledge, first we need to know what God's plan is, acknowledge where we have been able to fulfill the plan of God, and if we haven't, where we need the help to do so. And as we submit unto God, as we submit unto God, it is God's responsibility to convict, to change, to mold the man. And a lot of that, ladies, is won over by our response to God, our response to God, which brings about our response to our husband. Amen. We are to appreciate or express appreciation and admiration for our husband's godliness. You remember when I said, you know, this is speaking to that man, speaking to and about that man that honors and reverence God. We are to express the appreciation and the adoration for his godliness. Spiritual leadership, it encompasses more than just praying and reading the Bible and witnessing. It involves his inward strength of character that is demonstrated by standing for what is right. And whenever a man refuses to compromise scriptural conviction, he deserves the highest praise and admiration from his wife. Let your husbands hear you praise him to others. So vitally important. I'm telling you, that for a man to hear, before I move on to here, we do have a caller. Bless your heart, beloved. I'm sorry, I didn't see you chime in here. So God bless you. Good morning, sweetheart. And yes, how can you, what do you have to say? I'm sorry.
Praise the Lord, Apostle Deacon Farr. How are you this morning?
I am blessed, man of God. How are you?
All is well. All is well. All is well. I just want to let you know I was on the line.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Yes, yeah, because the number is not the same. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Amen. Well, do you have anything that you want to say about what I just went through?
Oh, well, yeah, yes, ma'am. You know, I agree. I mean, it's something you said in the very beginning, and I think we all of us have to be mindful of and consider that when we're talking about this marriage and the way God does it, what God commands, it's about our salvation first. If we're not believers, the word of God is ineffective. Because for an unbeliever, we try, because we find this when we talk to folk about them coming to Christ. We can't hold them accountable to the word of God if they don't confess Christ, confess to believe the word of God, and confess to be repented and transformed and renewed. Because we can say people should be doing a lot of things, but if they don't believe God, it doesn't mean nothing to them. So, and same thing with marriage. We should be concerned about the salvation of our spouse. That's where it all starts.
Yeah.
You know, for some of the wives out there, you know, you might have came to church before them, you know, because when y'all met in the club, neither one of y'all was in church, but then you end up going to go to church later. And now you want to hold your husband to a certain standard, which he's not saved. You weren't saved, but now you got saved. So now you want to be the Holy Ghost for the whole house. I'm going to leave that right there, because that's a whole other show. But in that, God directs you as a saved wife on how you are to handle your unsaved spouse. And that goes for both ways. I'm just picking on women because it's, you know, it's fun. But it's how we are to treat our unsaved spouse. So it has to go back to, we have to be honest with ourselves, because I remember a couple years back that we was in a conversation and a brother was asked, "Is your wife saved?" And it was funny. He was asked this question several times, but he never could say that. He could say a lot of other things, but the question was, "Is your wife saved?" So we have to ask ourselves, is our spouse saved? Does our spouse believe God?
Yes.
Then we go back to, then we can start with step one. And, well, we're going to step two today. But it has to start there.
Absolutely.
Because we can't hold folk accountable to the word of God who don't believe the word of God. And I think that's very, very important that we have to start there. Because, I mean, you're going to be, because you're married, because if you got married outside the church or whatever, because you did pay a preacher, but, you know, we're not living. We haven't submitted ourselves and living under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You know, that's open. That's all God's going to work all that out. But however, if now you confess to be, now you are held accountable to the word of God, and your spouse may not be. So, you know, you have to be held accountable by what God says for the, we're talking about the wife now, on a husband, even unsaved man needs all those things from his wife.
Right. Right.
Because again, I know me and you, we have been around a while. Because we've seen people who didn't claim to be Christians who had marriages that lasted 50 years. But
absolutely.
The church folk seem they can't, you know, they can't get past 15. And everybody got married in the church. They had the Holy Spirit flowing. They fell out in the marriage ceremony. And wait a minute.
Come
okay, on. I don't want to go too far. But they can't make it past 15 years. And you see unsaved folk.
Right.
You see folk who live together and have children for over 30 years.
Absolutely.
But they have something there because they're committed to one another. So we, as the church, we have to start living out things because, you know, again, our life here on this earth, there's a call for a lot of things and to be an example. And our marriages should be an example, not so much for our unsaved friends, but for the generations coming behind us because they're seeing folk who don't claim the name of Christ, not live for Christ, but they see them hanging in there for years, living together, having kids together. Some get married, some get married common law, some get married on the courthouse and just keep it moving. But the church, we want to, you know, we want to preach the gospel, but our homes look like wrecks.
Yes.
So that's where all this has to really come from. We have to start, we have to examine ourselves, and then in our homes is, let me go, just go back. Is your spouse saved? And it all starts there. And how
Absolutely.
Are we helping our spouse move into a place where the Lord can use them and where the word now is going to take root in them? And then we can, because again, we as Christian spouses, there's certain things we call to do regardless of what our spouse does.
Amen.
That's another thing we don't do before, but we're still called. If we confess Christ as Lord and Savior, and his word is the directions of our lives, we're called to treat our spouse a certain way, regardless of where they are.
That's
so
right.
So when we talk about what a wife and a husband, okay, these things count for your unsaved husband, because you know some folk when they want to have a loophole, a spiritual loophole. Because my spouse ain't saved, I ain't got to do none of that. So I go back to you, Apostle. Where you want to go? Where are we going now?
Oh my goodness. I thank you. I thank you so much, you know, for what you're sharing and saying. And folks, before I move on, for those of you who don't know, this is Deacon Thomas Farr, who again has his own show, Issues Christian Men Talk. And as you can hear, this is why I encourage you, go and listen to his show. I mean, down to earth, he's for real. You know, he gives it to you just the way it's supposed to be given. And so I appreciate him. Now, I wanted to piggyback on something that you said, Deacon, and that was as we're talking about the fact of the spouse being saved, the spouse being saved and or not saved. These guidelines are for whether your husband is saved or not. However, these guidelines, the expectation, as he mentioned about the woman getting saved first and then expecting the husband to abide by the principles that she has learned now in the word of God and so forth and so on, and we're expecting something, you know, that the man doesn't have within him right now. He doesn't believe God and so forth. And I cannot tell you how many marriages I've had to do counseling for where the woman is saying constantly, Why do I have to be the one to do this? Why do I have to be? Why can't he? And so forth and so on. And, honey, you have to be the one to do it because you are the one that has the Holy Spirit in you. You are the one that have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You are the one that's being held accountable. You know, you're asking your husband to live like a man who not only has received God as his Jesus as his Lord and Savior, but he loves God, that he's committed to him, and so forth. And that's what you're asking him to do. And he has no idea on how to do that the way that God would have it done. And yet, like Deacon Farr said, there are unsaved men and women that are together, and their marriages last longer than those of us that are in the church. And it's amazing. It is truly, truly amazing. So that was the one thing I just wanted to tag that on there. So women, when you hear your pastors or counselors saying, yes, we are to be submitting unto our husbands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and you're wondering why you got to do first and why he can't. If he's not saved, he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know what, and God forbid it, if he didn't have a good male role model, an example of how marriages are supposed to run and so forth and so on, it can be very difficult. It can be very difficult for our men. So remember, women, as we go through this, you know, that we need to be praying for our husbands. We need, let me just continue on. Y'all will get it. Y'all will get it. We'll get it. I'll get it. Praise be unto God. Okay. So listen, so we, the last one we did was expressing the appreciation and his admiration for his godliness, expressing that. And when a man refuses to compromise the scriptural convictions, he deserves the highest praise and admiration from his wife. Let us, women, let us let our husbands hear us praise him to others. You just imagine him standing behind a door in the other room and hearing you brag to your girlfriends about the wonderfulness of your husband. I don't even know if there's such a word as wonderfulness, but it is today. About the wonderfulness of your husband. I can assure you that he's standing back there pounding on his chest with his fist going, yeah. He loves that. A man loves to hear his woman talking about him and in good terms. Women, we are to express our confidence in our husbands. God works through the husband's decisions, whether they are good decisions or bad decisions. Bad decisions will be able to reveal the man's needs and give the wife the opportunity to appeal to God on his behalf, to appeal for his godly character, his faith, his patience, his forgiveness, to appeal to God for these things to grow within him. Reassure your husband of your confidence in him and in the Lord. Pray for him. Tell your husband how God is working in your life, even through his leadership, And don't be afraid to help your husband understand your needs. You know, a lot of times we're expecting men to do something, and the man doesn't know what our need is. Now, of course, if your husband was listening to us a couple of weeks ago, he would have learned the seven basic needs of a wife. But just in case he didn't, by the way, you can go back to the archives and pull up that show to help him understand. But women, don't be afraid to tell him what your needs are. And he needs to know about the protection that we need. He needs to understand the needing his leading, his direction. He needs to understand how important it is for us to tell him about our hidden fears and the pressure and the weaknesses that we feel. You know, sometimes we don't want to let our mates know that we're weak in certain areas because they look at us as being strong women and that we can take over and we can do this, that, and the other. And sometimes we don't want to let them know that, you know, I'm not as strong as it appears all the time. I have to look this strong, you know, because you're not stepping up to the plate. But, baby, I just want to curl up in your arms, and I just want to cry my heart out sometimes because I have taken on the job, the house, the kids, the church, the this, that, and the other. You know, can you take some of this from me? You know, don't be afraid to let them know. I need you. I need you. So, and don't expect him to take advantage of that fact. They need to know that they are needed, that they are needed. They need to know that, women. So let us do our fair share in that. Deacon Farr, what are your thoughts about that, sir?
Amen. And, you know, you're right. It's let me say this to encourage the wives out there and for husbands to hear. You know, you're on the same team. You're on the same team. Mm. You're on the same team. So if you can't communicate and depend on one another, you're on the same team. And when it comes to expressing needs, you have to – it's two sides to it. As husbands, we have weaknesses. We don't have all the answers. We may have a basic understanding what it means to be your husband, to be your husband, to provide, to protect, and then on the spiritual side. But we're going to make decisions, and like Apostle shared, our decision is going to help both of us grow. The good ones and the bad ones are going to help both of us grow, and it should draw us closer together in it because we are a team. Teams don't fail and start blaming each other because then that's where it starts to fall apart. You know, if you're a team, you know, it's something I learned a long time ago, me and my wife. It's me and her and then it's against everybody else. So good, bad, whatever goes, I'll say this. Some of the decisions we go through marriage from the beginning to the end, it's not unto death. You can help you grow because we all in our individual lives have made choices and decisions that we learn from. So now when we come together in marriage, how come the choices and decisions we make that don't go well or do go well, we don't learn from together? So you are a team in the midst of that. And then also we have to, and for wives to you know, encourage their husband, let their husbands know, you need to hear that you're on my side. I need to hear it. Because, as you know, I won't throw everybody under this bus, but some wives don't say nothing about their husbands until it's wrong. Then they can tell everybody that.
Yes.
Because they're upset. I don't know how they're gonna say it. They're upset. They're mad. They all this, and they'll tell everybody. But when he does something right, you'll tell him, but you're not telling nobody else. Because your whole family know when he did something wrong because you call everybody. You tell everybody, you know, but when he's doing something good, you seem like you don't need to tell nobody that. I mean, that's a character trait. So if that's you, you need to pray about that and get that adjusted. But and as a husband, we do need to hear from my wife that you're on my side. Even when it goes wrong, it goes bad. It could be something that affects all of us, or it could be my shortcoming and my personal failure, and you may just be disappointed in me. But, you know, how do you handle being disappointed with someone you love? And if you're on a team, we want to help encourage and lift up to keep going, moving forward, even in our failures. And a lot of it is for married couples is they have to be look at each other, evaluate yourself, and whose side are you really on? And what's going on? Are you? Because some of it is also, you know, like you said, it's how we deal honestly with what's going on in our lives to move forward and move better and please God. Because that's what we have to really look at. That's where the salvation part comes in. And can our marriage be pleasing to God and give Him glory? even when we go through and we're being challenged. What do you say, Apostle?
Yes. Amen. I say that you're absolutely right about that. And we have a caller that wishes to chime in. Good morning, beloved. Your last four digits are 4453. What say you this morning?
This is other part of Team 4. Yeah.
Hello. How are you, sweetheart?
Glory be to God. I am well. To live my best half that just went on. I give him praise and I give him glory for that. I'm just, you know, the question sort of was, what do you do? What was the question? I sort of lost track of the question that you put out.
It wasn't so much a question. We were talking about the fact of, oh Lord Jesus, what were you talking about? Expressing our confidence in our husbands expressing our needs, helping the husband to understand our needs.
Yes, that is exactly what it is. Sometimes it's just a lack of communication. I do remember when I first got saved. I was one of those women that first got saved, and my husband wasn't saved, and I did everything and anything I can to get him saved. And then one day the Lord spoke to me, and I stopped doing it to make him saved. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do to make you happy? It switched the conversation. Now I'm now focused on him. Lord, how can I make you happy in this relationship? What am I doing that's causing, I'm bringing in something that he's not familiar with? So how do I switch it around that God get the glory? How do I take it off of, put it all on him and put it all on me? Now let me put it back where it belongs, to the Father. Because I come from a single family home. I don't know what a father is supposed to be. The first step I need to know, Father me, Father, show me what I'm missing. I'm asking him to do something I'm not familiar with. I'm asking him to be something I never seen in my own home. I'm identifying a husband and a father for when people I see, television, everything I think I'm missing out on.
Right.
But that wasn't my problem. My problem was my vision. God had to give me a new vision. And then he starts to speak those things as not as though they are. Call it out. Pray for him. Every time he went to bed, the Lord had me to anoint his feet. So he began to take the steps that he needed to take without me interfering between him and the Father.
Wow.
Because all that wasn't even about him. It was a gift to me to a place to trust the Father. The Lord used that relationship, but it also built me to a place where I could trust the Father with what I thought was the most important thing in my life, my husband and my children. I had to release it because I'm holding on to it. God can't do nothing with it. I couldn't trust God to do the God thing because I'm trying to do the God thing.
Amen.
So
when
you start trying to do the God thing, God can do the God thing. And I can be the wife.
Yes.
The Lord is working on me. There's so much of an imperfection in me. I can't just take my eyes off my husband and let God shine his light on me. I'm the one with the attitude. I'm the one that don't want to do this and I don't want to do that. Then I said, I'm not going to do something. I'm going to do it to the glory of God. Whether it's right or whether it's wrong, God, take glory in this. And every night I would say, Lord, take glory in this. Whether my husband sees it, whether he respects it, whether he understood it, it was no longer between me and him. It was between God and me. To God, I could not focus no more on him. Because I realized the more I focused on him, the more I was damaging the relationship. Because when we got married, we wasn't saved. We wasn't even in the church. We were clubbing. We were doing everything else. And then I just get saved, and all of a sudden, I'm second to be where I'm at.
I heard that.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't right for me to put that responsibility on him, but God ain't changing yet.
Mm-mm.
So I had to change the conversation. It wasn't about him no more. It was about me and God.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. You go ahead, woman of God. Amen. Amen. Now, folks, listen, just in case you missed that, that is the other half of the Farr team. That's Deacon Farr's wife. Praise be unto God. And it's good hearing from both of them about this topic. So you see that people that are speaking to you are people that have experienced and walked through what it is that we're talking about today. You know, they were both unsaved when they met and got married, and she got saved first and did just like just about every wife does. You know, she gets saved, falls in love with the Lord, and then expects her husband to live up to those expectations, you know, that he knew nothing about. And I loved it how she put the fact that she did not have a role model as to what a husband and a father is supposed to be, because she did not have that. You know, she didn't see that in her home. And so where do we get it from? We get it from our televisions. We get it from looking at other people and so forth and so on, where we need to be going, you know, to the Word of God. And I love this with this something, again, that I point out to couples all the time. You need to get your eyes off of the man and get your eyes on your relationship between you and God, and let God do what he needs to do in us, that we are able then to do what we need to do in our marriages. But it's God working with us. That's where we need to pray. Excuse me. That's what we need to be seeking from the Lord. Help me to be the wife that I'm supposed to be in this relationship. Help me to be the mother. God, how do I please you in this? How do I please you? And that should be our first and primary concern. How do I please you and bring glory to your name? And in doing that, God, just the same way he's working and changing us, he's moving on the behalf of our husbands as well. He is moving. Thanks to God. I'm loving what you're doing here. Again, this is Apostle Banks here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. If you desire to speak and share your thoughts and or opinions, even if you come up with a Bible verse in dealing with what we're talking about, press 1 on your keypad and you will be able to share with us live. Also, I want to remind you that all of our discussions are archived. So if you miss it or want to share this with someone later on, you can go to blogtalkradio.com and pull up Heart to Heart, or blogtalkradio.com/, I think it is, Apostle Banks or Etta Banks, I'm not sure. I don't remember right now. But you can definitely go to Blog Talk, pull up Heart to Heart, and you can always listen to these calls. They are recorded and saved for your convenience. So we do thank the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. Let me see here. excuse me. So as we're talking about, you know, helping him to understand our needs and so forth, we don't ever want to undermine our husband's leadership. Proverbs 14:1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but a foolish plucketh it down with her hands." So a foolish wife can either knowingly or unknowingly crush her husband's spirit by making foolish choices. For example, if she seeks to be financially independent, your self-sufficiency can crush your husband's spirit. God gave your husband the responsibility to provide for his family. A wise wife will trust God to provide for her family's needs through her husband's leadership. And women, I told you, some of these things is hard for us to swallow, because who of us, you know, don't want to be financially independent? Now, Now, yes, look, I don't know about anybody else, but yes, I'd love a wealthy husband that could take care of every single one of my needs, and I trust that that's how God will make it happen, especially, you know, at the age I'm at. I'm not looking at the idea of finding a young man with some potential. No, I need a man at this age that has already reached a lot of potential, already got finances set up and able to take care of me. You know, so we are supposed to have that's what the Word of God is telling us. It's His responsibility to take care of us. As it stands, there's so many women that are raised in homes where they didn't have fathers that did that, didn't see the father, which was the husband to the mother, take care of her. Mothers had to work, and so they raised us, you know, for us to be self-sufficient, financially independent. You don't have to depend on a man for anything, and so forth and so on. And that does cause a major division. And women, I'm not telling you do not work. I'm definitely not saying that. I'm not telling you can't have financial independence. I'm not saying that. You do that, but do it all in the right respect of your husband's leadership. Do that. And that, you know, there are men that cannot handle the woman making more money than he does, and that crushes his spirit, you know, because you're making more. He wants to be the head. He needs to know that he's the head. Well, woman, if you make more money than your husband, then you need to show him you still honor him no matter what he's making, that you honor him and what he does. Honor the fact that he goes to work, that he brings home his pay, that he's doing what he can to help support the family and so forth and so on. And so what you make three and four times? Because you make three and four times as much as he makes does not give you the right to usurp authority in your household. And sometimes we have the tendency to think the money I make gives me the right to run this household. Beloved, that's not what God says. That's not what the Word of God says. Deacon Farr, what are your thoughts on this, sir?
My. Well, first, let me say this. All this, when we talk about finances and couples and marriage, I think it all goes back to the beginning. It goes back to when you are planning your marriage, not your wedding, when you're planning your marriage. And for young couples, because it's different. You're in different places in your life, and you mentioned that about right now. When you're starting out young, I don't think we train and teach our young people what it means to take financial responsibility as a husband. That's the first thing, you know.
Right.
And for wives, it's because everybody, you know, whatever. I mean, people go, you know, they get to a certain age, depending on where they are. When they are financially, when they're single and if they're working, and, you know, what kind of financial stability do they have, or financial education? Because if they're not budgeting, if they're spending all their money, they're doing whatever they want to do, they got a bunch of credit cards when they're single, they're not going to change when they get married. But I don't think we really talk about that when we talk about premarital counseling. That means what kind of bills you got, what kind of debt. Because biblically, the husband takes on the debt of the wife. Half of y'all wouldn't got married if you'd have knew that. I'll leave that right there. That's it. but also with the finances, it really is. I mean, it's something I could share. I'll share because, you know, and I got married. I had a mindset, again, to take care of my family. And I think men, young men, whatever age men today, their mindset should be, I'm going to take care of the house and home. She's taking my name, and I'm prepared to provide the essential needs for the home and for our family moving forward. For young guys, I say 30 and under, Are you ready? Do you have an apartment, a mortgage? Are you prepared to bring a wife into a circumstance, or are you getting your wife and then going into a circumstance? That's a whole discussion.
Mm.
But I don't think we do that in premarital. We don't really do that in this culture. Because if we look back on other cultures, a boy can't take on a wife. A man with nothing to have cannot – hold on. This guy. We could go a little bit past 10 o'clock. No. Because you had to have – you had to go to – I mean, the same principle applies biblically. You had to come to a family and ask to take one of the daughters to be your wife, and you had to be able to provide. Because a family, we're supposed to leave from their father's home to your home, and now you are making a new home. So are we prepared financially to do that? Now, I understand women, you know, women have their own careers, go to school, go to college, and want to work. But are you prepared to carry the load for the home? And for wives and my young women out there, are you marrying a man that you're going to be content where he is? I mean, real contentment, not superficial contentment. That means, because it doesn't matter how much you make, you're living within the means of what your husband has and how your husband can take care of you. And if you're working, fine. But your money, you know, when we talk about overflow, we like to talk about that a lot. But I see it as the wife's income is the overflow God has promised you, because the husband is prepared to take on the family and provide the essential needs. Now, we're going to talk, we can discuss about essential needs, because it don't mean cable and everybody need a cell phone. But again, that's a whole nother show we can do after 10 o'clock. But but that's why marriage, that's why I see marriage now as such a real struggle for a lot of young folk, because they think it's, you know, I think they have a wrong conclusion of what it means to be a husband and what it means to be a wife. And I think with the financial part, it's really about contentment. It's about contentment and pride. And then, like you said, and I think my wife said the same thing, we have women who are coming out of families that there was no framework. There was no biblical sustainable framework of what marriage and family life was like. So we are throwing people into things and putting a requirement on them that they're unfamiliar with. But my thing is to, again, it goes back to, as a husband, are we prepared to take on families? And as wives, are we content with how God has made our husband to provide? But then we can grow from that point. But I think it all starts in the beginning of marriages, when you first start the courting and the dating and all those things. Is the husband's capability to provide good enough? And then that's our launching pad from there. Because even if the wife doesn't really matter, because to me it doesn't really matter how much the wife makes, because money doesn't give you authority. It's not biblical. It's not even, you know, we have a lot of people out here making, who are billionaires. But what kind of lives and characters are they leading? They got money.
Right.
We can go all the way from sports figures to actors to anybody else you want to talk about out here who has had financial success, but don't make them have moral character to the lives they live and what they live in. So money is not a thing that gives you authority or makes you morally correct. So if we bring that same thing into a marriage, just because the wife makes more, that don't make her in charge. And God's definitely doesn't hold her responsible just because she has a greater material resource into the marriage. God, you know, it's not biblical. You can't find it nowhere. You know, so, again, as Christians, we have to start to examine our marriages, our relationships, and our heart. Because, again, you know, if it's such a big thing, really, it goes back just to our nature. If it's such a big thing about that, then why would you marry someone who's at a different economic level than you? Unless you did that on purpose. So that's a whole other heart issue we got to deal with. So it's a lot. I mean, but again, for a couple who's trying to make it, yes, the husband. If the wife doesn't see that the husband is the God authority put in her life to lead her as a husband, to love her and take care of her husband, and she respects and honors him biblically, the bank account thing is not an issue. Would not well it it it, it start that the Bible has an answer for that. Because, again,
right.
that could be God's way of providing for you as a team where she's working, but he's taking care of the essentials. So how much more now do you have to sow into ministry, to sow into your
right.
future, to sow into that your wife, you know, just imagine this. I'm taking care of everything else. All the money she makes, she's handling the kids. She's handling all the other stuff. I'm keeping the roof, the lights, the essentials. Whatever the essentials is in your relationship that the two of you agree with, I got that. You got this. But I give you that, because don't think if you don't pay it, because there's going to be some. Everything is not a need. It's the wants. You know what I'm saying? You give
right.
your wife the wants. I got the needs. So, and
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? But again, this is about communication. It's about how you set up your marriage, because a lot of arguments
right.
and fussing and arguing can be prevented if you address it early. And even if it comes up later, talk it and work it out. Figure it out. It's just as simple as I got the mortgage, the lights, and maybe I keep the internet on. You got everything else. You want this, you want that. You car, I mean, hey, if your wife's working, she can buy any car she can afford. Because she can afford it. But I'm not required to get two cars. I'm not required to go into deep debt and me worrying about paying two car notes because you want a car. But, again, that can be a whole other counseling session. Apostle, what do you
yes,
say?
Yes, it could. Yes, it could. Because I want my own car.
Okay, then you need to do what you need to do to pay your car note and your insurance, and you can have a car.
Absolutely.
Go get you a car.
Absolutely.
It's cool. But then don't
Absolutely.
Come to me because you got to make your payments, because
that's
not
right.
essential. We don't need it. We don't need two cars. We got a car. We got a house car. My car is my car and the house car. But when you get your car is your car. Make sure you keep that thing on the road. Don't come to me that you need help with the car, though, because then now that's not essential. I'm just saying, again, that's a counseling session. We have to just go, you know, we have to figure that out. Pray on that.
Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I tell you, I just love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Oh, babies, I tell you, God is good. God is good. And you know why the man of God was speaking? I was thinking about how speaking about the essentials and being able to live within the confines of what the husband makes and what the wife makes, you know, that should be the overflow. That should be the blessings that you see coming forth. And I thought about the fact that how many of us, you know, when we get married and both of us are working, and then the house and the cars that we get, we need both incomes to make it. What would it look like if what we did and how we lived was based on just what he made? Just what he made. And let what the wife makes be the overflow. How much different our lives will look like, you know, what it will look like, what our living conditions would look like if I based this strictly on what he's making instead of what both of us are making. And that would set us up in a totally, totally different place. It would set us up in a totally different place. And many of us, if we look at our living standards right now, we aren't able to do with just one income, because we have become well adjusted to the fact of both of us working, both of us, you know, fulfilling our desires more so than our needs. And those desires, once we have fulfilled them, then they become, I need this job to take care of what it was I desired, because that was not an essential thing that we needed to have in order to get through. Wow. Deacon, you're really doing it to me today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All righty. All righty. Let's see here. That is, let's Let's see. Well, believe it or not, we made it through number two. We made it through number two. Now, I know that we're not going to spend five more weeks on doing this, but however the Lord has us to go, that's the way we would go. But I tell you, this has been, I knew this was going to be some heavy conversation. I knew it was going to be heavy conversation, and that's exactly what we want. Of course, you remember that this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And these last 2 weeks have been some deep stuff here. It's been really deep, really deep. Oh, my goodness. So, Deacon, is there something that you would like to say before we close out, or do I need to take a poll from the from our audience to see if we need to stay on here any longer?
Amen, Apostle, amen. Well, you know, like I said, Apostle, like you said, if the Spirit moves, this is what we do. How long is premarital counseling supposed to last? 6 months before you get married? These 5 weeks just might. No, I'm saying it might take that long. Because, again, maybe that's what we do. We need to go into the deeper end of stuff and let folk, meditate on it. Because marriage is, again, it's the foundation of God started. It was in the beginning with Adam and Eve. That's what he meant for the human society to be built on the family. And the marriage of a man and a woman clinging together, becoming a team, and moving in the same direction as God, as God directed and guided each couple. That's the other thing you have to understand. Mm-hmm. Every couple, God has a purpose and a plan. He put you together. Because he knew us, again, from the foundation of the world. He knew us in our mother's wombs. He knew who you was going to marry when he made you in your mother's womb, mm-hmm. and why and what the purpose of that marriage is. And when you see that and understand that, then hopefully it's more easy for you now to come and work together, that God might be glorified in all the trauma and circumstances and situations. And I'll just say this in closing for anybody who's listening: no matter how long you've been married, you're not the only one who's going through. Who's been going through and is going to go through, you're not the only one. We all have been challenged in our marriages, but we went to God, we looked, seek the answers of God, we seek help from those who've godly, wise counsel to move us back on course, and you can make it. You can make it. You know, some of us, we wait too long. We let stuff fester. We let stuff. I mean, like we know now with this, with the pandemic and all stuff that's happening. If you don't go after an issue in the beginning, it gets worse and worse to the point where it dies, where it kills something. And that's what I believe. A lot of marriages get to that point because they don't deal with the initial sneeze. It turns into pneumonia. It hits you on a respirator, and then you can't recover. Mm-hmm. And that's what some of our marriages are. I'll just leave it right there. Apostle, God bless you, and we'll see what happens next Saturday. I might be back. We might do a simulcast again next week.
All right.
And we might go 90 minutes, so everybody get ready. We might go 90 minutes, at least 90.
I will set it up. I will set it up for 90 minutes next week. Trust you me. And in fact, if I had listened to the Holy Spirit, I would have done that today. I would have done that today when I was setting it up, and I said 60 minutes, and man, I kept looking at that 90 minutes, but I will set it up for 90 minutes so that we can cover more than one thing. And your people are already texting me saying, please, continue it on, so we'll set it up for 90 minutes next week, beloved, next week, we will set it up for 90 minutes, come back. Bring your loved ones, bring others that you will encourage to listen to this. One person texted me and said that this teaching is family building. So, folks, remember that you're hearing it here on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Take care, beloveds. I love you, Deacon Farr. Thank you so much for your input, man of God. Thank you so much. And to the rest of you, meet us back here next Saturday morning at 9 a.m. and bring somebody that you believe that this will bless. continue on with how can I meet the seven basic needs of my husband. Take care. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.